I'm Allison Jacobson, a transformational coach for women in midlife who are ready to rediscover who they were before they took on the roles of mom, partner, caregiver, and manager of everyone in the family. Women who are ready to live out their dreams but don't know or are afraid to take those first steps. I want to help you make midlife the time when you achieve all of your goals. So let's get started. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Midlife Mavericks. I'm so glad you are here today. For those of you who are new, though, this is a podcast for anyone in midlife who is really looking for some guidance on getting past their self-doubt, their limiting beliefs, and realizing they can live kick-ass lives in the second chapter. So I always have on guests who've done amazing, incredible, inspirational things. I also have experts who can talk to us about everything in midlife, from sex to health and wellness, to food, to adventure, you name it. If you like this podcast, please do me a favor, follow us, leave a review, and share this, because that will help other women find this. You can also find out more about me and get a lot of free resources at my website, allison-jacobson.com. And if you are looking for just some motivation in the morning to get you going, head over to Amazon, grab my book, Daily Inspirations for Midlife Women, A Guide to Peace, Joy, Confidence, and Abundance. So today, this topic for me is so timely, and I am so excited to have my guest, Star Hansen, on here. She is a clutter coach. She is the author of Why the Fuck Am I Still Not Organized? She is a certified professional organizer and the clutter whisperer. I love that. On a mission to help you banish your personal clutter monster. Sounds like that monster in our closet we all had when we were growing up. Take control of your stuff and create a life you're truly proud of. Star looks at the deeper meaning of your stuff to help you figure out why you feel overwhelmed by your clutter in the first place. Her book has inspired countless individuals to tackle their clutter head on and find lasting solutions. She's appeared on over 30 TV shows, given a TEDx talk, and shared her fitted sheet folding secrets with Oprah. That is so cool. Her unique methodology has helped thousands of people get and stay organized when nothing else worked. Star, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Allison. I'm so happy to be here with you today.
Now, I have to admit, I just started thinking about decluttering because my kids went off to college. And I'm like, I'm going to do this. And I got Marie Kondo's book and maybe I got through the first chapter. So yes, I am a Marie Kondo dropout.
Oh, no such thing. I feel like, so it's not for everyone, right? Like this is like, there's a magical organizing fairy whisperer for everyone. There's so many different philosophies out there, and it's so hard to hold ourselves accountable to what the mainstream is doing. And what I found is the mainstream doesn't work for most people, but we have this pressure we put on ourselves that if it was a major bestseller, it should work for us too. And that's just not the case. We've got to like forge our own path sometimes. So I am so glad that you've started, and now we can kind of build on what didn't work to find what does work. That's a great place to be.
Exactly. So tell us first, like, congratulations on writing a book, because I have a book too, and I know it's not easy. I love the title because it speaks to so many of us. And so tell me your philosophy about clutter and organizing.
So I've been organizing for about 20 years now. And what I discovered pretty early on is that clutter is not about boxes and labels and systems. When I work with people, I'm working with people who have recurring clutter, clutter that shows up over and over again, no matter how many times you try to get a handle on it. And specifically with women who are just badasses in their daily life. Like you're sitting there like nailing the rest of your life, feeling like, wait, why can't I get this together? Why is it not working? And so what I've discovered with people is that there's always a deeper root cause to that clutter. And if you don't know what that root causes, that clutter's not going to go away no matter what you throw at it. No Marie Kondo, no home edit, no container store boxes. They're just not going to work if you don't know the deeper cause. Now, if you know the deeper root cause of your clutter, any system will work. You can literally apply anything that feels good to you and it's going to work. And so my goal is to help people understand the deeper cause of their clutter so that they can move past this chaos in their life and start to live a life of freedom and joy.
So give us some examples. What could be some deeper meanings for your clutter?
Yes. So there are four major ways that clutter shows up. And the way that I say it is, it's clutter is trying to help us. Clutter is not trying to hurt us. It's not like out to get us. It's not proof of your defects. Our clutter is us kind of speaking to ourselves nonverbally. So we might use our clutter to communicate with ourselves or with others, right? In my TEDx talk, I share a story about a couple who left a teacup out on their counter for 1 year. And the communication was, "You did it. It's not my fault. Back off." And they didn't say it to each other, but they said it nonverbally. And then finally, when we confronted the teacup, it just blew up, man. It was like very intense. We might use it to communicate with ourselves, using it to really remind ourselves of who we want to be. You see this with people leaving like yoga mats out when they don't do yoga or weights, because it's like, I don't want to forget to work out or who I'm going to be. I want to remember this version of me that I used to be or I want to be. We can often use clutter to create, right? To help us feel like really empowered in our lives or creative or inspired. We can use it to connect with, again, other chapters of ourselves or other people. You see this with those who hold on to items from deceased loved ones, really trying to maintain that connection. And we also show it as protection, right? Clutter helps us protect ourselves. I have a client who, you know, wherever she doesn't want her kids to go, she's going to build a giant pile there, right? Like if she wants someone to not find something, there's going to be a mound of clutter protecting her stuff. And I see this over, and I mean, I could tell you hundreds of stories of people who've used their clutter in similar ways. And when you start to understand how your clutter is helping you, then you can start to address the root cause of the problem, right? So, and then the clutter doesn't need it anymore. And that's the power.
You know, it's really interesting. I never, and especially the idea of the yoga mat being out, that's really fascinating to me. And I would also say, and see if you agree, one person's clutter is another person's treasure. And about 6 years ago, my mom moved in with me and we have very different ideas. Like I get rid of things. My memories are not things, but my mom's memories are things. And so she has, just like you said, she has cups, she has all this stuff and it brings back memories for her. And I always try to say to her, it's not the thing. You have that memory. You don't need this thing. But for some reason, yeah, those objects are her memories. It's really interesting.
Yeah. Well, my guess is that she's probably, you know, a generation that was either living through the Great Depression or shortly thereafter being raised by people who lived through the Great Depression. And when you look at any kind of scarcity or lack, there's a real intrinsic need to make sure our needs are met. This is just basic survival. And so you see a lot of people from that generation holding on to more than they need because they have lived through times where they didn't have enough. And we never want to fault them. It's so easy to say, oh, you don't need it. But we don't know their experience. We don't know what it is. I mean, a friend of mine, his mom lived through World War II. She had to eat dirt to sustain. Like that's a reality I don't know. And we want to really honor the fact that sometimes holding on to things gives people the security that they need. Now, what we want to do is not tell them, you don't need that anymore. This is the way to do it. Or to say, oh yeah, then keep everything, right? We want to lean in and say, what would it take for you to feel like your needs were met and you were safe and secure? And start to explore that, really explore that. Do you need a full pantry? What does that look like? Do you need the, you know, how can we establish this in a mindful way? Because once you've established you getting that need met, the clutter is not as necessary anymore. And we really want to meet people where they are in that way to help them move past the clutter.
Star, that's amazing. And what I love about you, as opposed to other organizers or declutterers who are just like, here, make, you know, boxes and label them. you really are the clutter whisperer. Like you are getting to the root cause of everything. All right. So I'm going to have you analyze me. I'm going out on a limb here.
I'm ready. Okay.
So the reason for my clutter, and I don't have a lot, but whenever I whenever I think about spending time decluttering, I feel like I'm wasting my time. I could be doing something much more productive, especially around work. And so I feel like when I'm, you know, cleaning my closet or something, there's something more important I could be doing.
Yeah, well, you're not wrong. Like, let's just name that, like, when you die, no one's going to say, but she had a really organized closet. Like,
right.
Like, so your priorities are in the right place.
Okay, and good.
Yeah, so winning Gold Star, perfect. The, you know, the goal is not to be the most organized. The goal is to be organized enough that you can function fully. And this is like why I don't love before and after pictures. You will never catch like rows and rows of before and afters on my site because I don't care about them. If I'm going to show an after, it's going to be you out on vacation, living your best life with the people you love. That's the after I care about, you know? So what we want to do is we want to catch that clutter before it becomes destructive to your life. And so we want to address the clutter in a way that is sustainable. You know, I don't want, it's a little dangerous when people are like, I'm going to do my entire garage this weekend because I'm sorry, I cannot get your garage done this weekend. Like if I come to your house and you've got a big cluttered garage, I want at least 3 days and I'm a professional. So how do you think you're going to do it in 2 5-hour days? Not happening, friend. So we have to really like make our organizing journey happen in a sustainable way that really allows for you to continue to have your life and allows you to move the clutter through because it's never going to not exist in our society. We live in a capitalist society where stuff is being thrown at us all the time. And you have to know that systems are not just simply about where your scissors go. Systems are about what you do when items come into your life that you don't want and need anymore and how you move those out and how you move them through your life. That's as much of a system as your pantry cabinets, you know?
So talk to me about your book. Talk to me about the tips in your book. Like I have a feeling, and I haven't read it yet, but I have a feeling it's not your typical, here's how you organize step by step.
Yes. So, well, you know, and it's funny because what I say, one of the chapters in the book is, you know, the 10 steps for getting organized. And I give you this at the beginning, because it's like, if you don't know how to get organized, it's going to be so hard to see the deeper meaning because most people were not taught how to get organized. It was just not a skill that was passed on either because your parents didn't know, or you might've had a 1950s quintessential housewife who wanted to do it perfectly and didn't want you slowing her down. And so there's a lot of reasons. So the first thing I do, I always teach you how to organize. I have 10 steps for how to get and stay organized. Your listeners can download a copy of them at organizingiseasy.com and they can grab that. Once you know those 10 steps, then you can flow in and you have the confidence knowing. But no, the rest of the book, I basically am like, here's your pound of flesh. Here's how to organize. Now let's move on to the real thing that's happening. And I basically talk about how clutter is not just simply stuff, right? There's practical clutter, which is clutter that's day-to-day. This is schoolwork that comes home from the kids. It's memorabilia that's stacked up. It's things that come when someone passes away that you have to process through. It's chapter changes of our life. And then there's activated clutter. This is clutter that shows up no matter how many times we get a handle on it. It's the, you know, pile on the kitchen counter. It's the junk drawer. It's the, you know, nightstand. Wherever your clutter is piling up, that's what we want to look at. We want to look at where it's piling up. We want to look at what it is. And we're going to start to unpack what's really going on. And I'll show you, like in the book, I talk about all the ways that clutter is serving you and how to be able to start reading your clutter. Because being a clutter whisperer is not just some like intrinsic magic. I'm not like a witch. I mean, you know, maybe a little bit, but like, I'm not like a witch who's like, I have this secret power. I basically teach you how to read your clutter so you can understand what your clutter is doing for you. And I have to say, Allison, it's been so amazing to write the book because it used to be that I would spend most of my time in my membership and in my classes trying to convince people that their clutter was trying to help them in some way. And now people are coming to my programs on night one. They're like, okay, my clutter's here. It's doing this for me. And what I need is that. And I'm like, oh,
wow.
It's beautiful. It's like, yes, that's what I want.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the things I'd love you to talk about, because, you know, some people have that idea that, you know, creative geniuses have clutter. How is clutter possibly a proof of genius?
Yeah. So it is. So like so many magical, wonderful, fabulous humans have clutter. It's, I mean, like Albert Einstein is a great quintessential, you know, person in this way. Even Obama talks about, you know, he's like, I don't let my staff hand me a paper until 2 minutes before I need it. Like, no, thank you very much. You know, so I don't think that clutter is proof of a defect at all. And what it is it's a collection of you, how your mind works, the way you do things, the life that you're living. It's proof of abundance. To me, a more heartbreaking scenario to walk into is a house where there's nothing, like an empty home. That's like, where are you hiding? Are you okay? Do you feel safe to be seen? You know, so having too much stuff sometimes just gives us, you know, information. I always say it's like you're a detective of your own life through your clutter. I can walk into your house and know with a glance who's, you know, in financial chaos, who's madly in love, who wears the pants in your family. And it's amazing because our clutter tells on us. It tells our secrets and in the best possible way. So we can look at it and feel shamed, which is what a lot of people do. They're like, I'm so embarrassed. I'm so sorry. Or we can look at it with curiosity and say, wow, this clutter is really showing me that I really need some self-care. My clutter is really showing me that I'm missing connection with this particular person who's gone. How can I manifest that in my life now? It really is an invitation into stepping into the next level of ourselves and our lives. So it's incredibly empowering.
That is so amazing. So it's almost what I'm hearing you say is there's a balance of not enough clutter and too much clutter.
Yeah. Well, and it's how it feels to you, right? I've had clients who hire me who don't want to get rid of a single thing. I literally have never done a donation run for them because they like their stuff. And for some people, if you grew up in lack or scarcity, you might feel more comfortable being surrounded with stuff than in a minimalist home. And other people are the opposite. And it's just what feels good to you. Like, I'm an interesting cat because in my own home, I want everything put away. I like, you know, beautiful decor around me, but I don't really want to see things I'm not working on at the moment. But if I'm in your house and if you had a lot of clutter, I wouldn't even notice it. It's like, I don't know, it's like this power that I can turn on and off. I don't look unless you ask me to look. I just don't see it. So I can like exist with it. So if I'm living with a partner who has clutter, I don't care. It's theirs, not my business. Like I have like internal boundaries around it, but it's more about what feels good to you and how do we create a life and home that really support you? Because our home is, it's like the body of our body. You know, it houses us. It's this nurturing place where we get to like sleep and eat and tend to ourselves and have privacy. And we want it to feel the exact way that you want to feel: safe, powerful, strong, supported. And there are so many ways to make our homes feel like that for ourselves. And a lot of times it does start with decluttering.
I want to go back to the first example you gave of the teacup.
Yes.
Because I would suspect that you are that rare cat who you could look at clutter that's not your clutter and be okay. I would think that there's a lot of marital problems around clutter and different beliefs about clutter and the power struggle around clutter. How do you deal with that?
With so much patience and love. Well, you know, it's so interesting when you look at couples, because what draws us together, especially if you pair early in life, is so different than what you need later in life. Like I often say, we wouldn't choose the same partners at 50 or 60 that we chose at 20 or 30.
Amen.
Right? It's so different. And you don't know what you don't know. So you get into this at 25 and then you find yourself at 65 and you're like, who is this beast standing? Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't understand. But what we want to do is, especially when you're cohabitating, and this can be with children, this can be with a partner or a roommate if you have one, like really honoring of each other. Like there has to be spaces in the home where each of you feel safe and spaces where you commonly create and curate that space. So I see this a lot. I have a lot of partnerships where perhaps the wife has ADHD and the husband has OCD, and they are trying to navigate their home when they both have such different ways that they experience the world and that they manage the world. So I always say, yeah, and I love using this as an example because it's very, you know, like polar opposite versus most people are not to this polar opposite. But I always say you want somewhere for the person with ADHD or the clutter to unfurl. They need to be able to be in that tornado moment. They need to be able to let go and really like, because there's something creative that happens in that chaos for them. It's beautiful and powerful. And if you have a finite space where they can kind of really let go, that can be actually kind of helpful for them to have their process and to not feel ashamed of it and not need to clean it up and have their everything looking perfect. Now, the other partner might need a space where they can be perfectly dialed in and organized and literally work out that anxiety through the management of this, the items. And then you need the common spaces where you come together as a couple and you choose together how it's going to be managed, who's responsible for what. And it's really mindful. But again, we don't do many things mindfully. We get excited, we get married. We don't have that conversation of like, well, tell me about how you manage your spaces and clutter. You know, it's like,
right.
And then we find ourselves like at the back end of a move. And when we move, we don't often have time to unpack or really settle in. And these are really important things to do, like really taking the time. Like the first step in my 10 steps is to set your intention for every room. Like what are you going to use this room to do? How do you want it to look? How do you want it to feel to you? And when you know that, you can then kind of curate and create a room that satisfies those needs for you. But we have to come together in partnerships or friendships or relationships, parental or not, and really start to mindfully establish the systems and create agreements and then a game plan for carrying that out.
So you're not just a clutter whisperer, you're a relationship therapist as well.
A little bit. Yeah. It's so amazing. It's amazing how many life skills we're not taught. You know, we're not taught how to have hard communications.
No.
We're taught how to ignore hard communications. And so, yeah, a lot of my work with people can be facilitating difficult conversations, helping people learn how to speak up and have their own voice in a powerful way for them and start to come together. Because again, yes, I understand we are all busy. We are juggling so much and it is inconvenient to take the time to establish these, you know, rules, these agreements, these understandings. But you know what else is inconvenient? Divorce. Estrangement from your child is inconvenient, right? Losing money because you have too much clutter. That's inconvenient. So I hear that you don't have time. I'm just saying that it's an investment of time one way or the other. You're either doing it on the front end or you're doing it on the back end.
You know, one of my courses, and I'll be signing up very soon for it again, is Confidence Equals Cash. Yeah. And I work with women around financial clutter, in the sense that they've got their bills all over the place because they don't feel confident having stuff online. And they have these piles that they're not getting to of statements and bank statements, or they're just in denial of it. So
can I throw one other thing in there too?
Yeah.
You also have a whole sect of women who don't know anything about their banking information because their partner is the gatekeeper. And then you yes. have the partner pass away or a divorce happen with no knowledge of their assets or anything. It's like, it's such a big deal to get your hands. It's such a wonderful service that you're doing
yes.
by doing that. Cause it's so needed and can feel very intimidating to step into your power.
You just described my course perfectly and why I do it. Yeah. Confidence Equals Cash. And I will be offering it in January and people can sign up for the waiting list because yeah, it's all the same. We started talking before the show about a fascinating topic of grief and clutter. Can you talk about that? Because wow, that's really powerful.
Yeah. So our stuff is never just stuff, especially when it's recurring. And there's such a layer of grief in our physical clutter. I mean, a lot of people have someone who passed away and then they inherit their stuff. And then it's a whole process to try to figure it out. And also too, a lot of these big life transitions or challenges or traumas that happen to us manifest physically through our clutter. So I have a lot of clients who maybe are going through a divorce or who've lost a child or, you know, lost a job or had to move. There are a lot of these traumas that happen to us that we then have manifest physically.
So as you know, I lost my son to SIDS, and I know that there are so many parents who lose children who keep the room exactly as it was, and
yeah,
it becomes almost a shrine.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing when we experience loss, you know, and I've worked with many people who've lost children, and you know, you have everything before that death, right? Everything about the expectation, the hope, the desire, especially when that baby's young or you lose them at birth, because you are like prepping. It takes so much work and energy to prepare for this little being to come into the world. And then you have this cataclysmic loss. And then you have the loss itself kind of like covering over everything that you were building there. And then you have the grief and just trying to learn how to live again, because we never get over these losses. We just learn to live with them, you know? And so then you have this next layer of trying to get your life together on top of the grief, on top of the life you thought you were building. And because of that, a lot of times we don't go back through and do the deep organizing because it's too painful, because we have to face the thing that sometimes we're not ready to face. And I never force anyone to do, you know, the organizing sooner than they're ready, because sometimes you're not, like, you know, especially the conversation about trauma these days and how much more research we have on it and more savvy people are being, we do not want to force anyone to like rip that Band-Aid off, because it is so tender. So it's, you know, it's, if you have sustained a major loss or a trauma or a death, know that if the clutter is there and it won't stop coming around, it's probably protecting something. It might be protecting you. It might be keeping people away so you have some respite for yourself. It could be just allowing you not to have to confront it in such a big way. You might also feel like, if I get rid of the clutter, or not the clutter, it's not clutter, if I get rid of the items from that chapter of my life of preparation, am I letting go of the person again?
Exactly. And I was just going to say that there's a feeling, and I can feel it right now, of one, am I disrespecting the person by letting their stuff go? And two, oh my gosh, this is going to put me further and further down the path of forgetting who they were.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And it's, and all of those things are very true. You know, it's, we do forget our loved ones as time goes on. We do, you know, our memory softens with them. And this kind of takes us back into where we started in our conversation, which is, how do we allow clutter to show us what we need? And in this case, how do I maintain connection, right? So we talk about the four ways clutter helps us. How do I maintain connection with this person who is no longer here? So I lost a sister, and my grief with her is still very big and very real. And what I do is I have a box, like a box that has her name on it on all four sides. And it is full of items that bring me joy. And every year on her birthday and anniversary fall within a week of each other. And I pull that box out and I connect with her in a really deep and profound way. I have a journal in there where I journal about and to her, like, and when it's her anniversary and birthday, I go and do things that I would have done with her if she was alive. Let's go get a massage. Let's go to this. Let's do a trip, whatever. And I energetically bring her with me. So she's never gone. I just have to mindfully choose to include her in my life. And it can be really nice, because when at the end of that time, when I want to go back, you know, quote unquote, back to my life, I put the lid on the box. I put the box in the closet. I don't get hit with what I refer to as landmines of painful items of the memory of that loss until I want to, or I'm ready to, because I am trying to learn to take care of myself without constantly feeling identified by that loss. I'm trying to remember, not remember, but start to discover who I am without her in my life, or with her in this new, you know, version of her in my life. And so it's really important to start to curate ways that we can include those people without needing to have them in every single corner of our homes, because that is very dangerous, to come across memorabilia of someone that is, you know, that breaks our heart when we're trying to be a badass at work. That's a hard one to do.
Well, especially like you said, when it catches you up short without expecting it, that's the hardest. I'm so excited that I've met you. This is absolutely amazing. Everybody needs to get your book, Why the Fuck Am I Still Not Organized? What is one piece of advice that you could give our listeners?
Yeah. So choose curiosity over judgment. It is the easiest thing to look at your clutter and to say, oh, this is proof that there's something wrong with me. And I will say, with 20 years experience, there is nothing wrong with you. The best thing you can do is to find connection and community. Brené Brown says that the, you know, when we're talking about shame, the best antidote to shame is connection. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I mean, it's the whole reason why I founded my Chaos to Calm organizing community, because, you know, you don't want to go to your partner or your neighbor and say, I'm really feeling shame about this, or I'm really stressed. You might not be met with the loving, kind, supportive response that you need. And that's fine. We want to know who's safe and who's not safe. And having a safe community to go to can be so powerful, because the thing that you thought would make people run for the hills, you realize does not, and that you are not your clutter, and that clutter is something you can manage, and that the things that are complicated are things that basically are a door into loving yourself more. And that's what we want, is real connection and expansion in that way.
Oh my gosh, so powerful. Where can people get your book?
So I have a free copy for your listeners. If they go to starhanson.com/podcast, I have a free quiz for them to discover which monster is hiding in their closet. They can get a free copy of my book, and also learn more about the Chaos to Calm community.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm going to be the first one there. Star, I could literally talk to you all day. So I'm definitely have you on again. This is absolutely amazing. Everybody, I hope you enjoyed this. And like I said at the beginning, please share this, start following me, leave a review, because so many women need to hear this. Star, thank you so much. And we'll see everybody again soon. Bye now.